That's awesome. Jesus is good. We don't deserve it, and we don't earn it. He's just good. So today I just want to take a few minutes and celebrate Jesus, this transformer of lives and of families. And I want to do it from the passage we've been in Philippians, chapter 2, first of all. And I didn't realize we had so much in common, Casey. Philippians chapter 2, we've been learning a lot about our faith, about mature Christian living, and about our Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, gives us a command, and that is to be like Jesus. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So very clear command, think this way, have this mind, this thinking. This is how we approach life. It's just like Jesus, verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Verse 8, here's where we come in. Jesus becomes human. Christmas happens. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 8 begins with our mind. Have this mind, he humbled himself. To the point of death, Jesus humbled himself. And there's the commandment. That's the kind of mind that we have. It's this humble mind. In verse 9, very beautiful verse, therefore God has highly exalted him. So Jesus died at the point of death there in verse 8. He has died, and now God has highly exalted him. He sits at God's mighty right hand on the throne. Revelation chapter 5, that Lamb that is worthy, that opens the scroll. God has highly exalted Jesus, so much so he has bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It is Jesus' name, that name, Jesus, that person that we think of, his name, that person has been exalted higher than, above all other names. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 reads this way. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So God has highly exalted the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. His name is above any other name, any other religious name, any other religion, any other person. God has highly exalted his name. Verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. At the name of Jesus, when we are called to stand before him, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every knee submits to his lordship. Every knee worships him as king, as authority, as savior, as sovereign rule. Every knee, and I like what it says, in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. The Jewish thinking is that under the earth is a Hades or the grave. It's those who have departed and gone on to their eternal home. But at the name of Jesus, And that's the only name. That's the name above every other name. At that name, every single person from any time, anywhere, everyone will bow their knee to Him as Lord and Savior. In verse 11, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every mouth, every person that's ever lived, they're there, here, below. There's only one name. There's only one person. There's only one religion. Or this is a lie. There's one. It's Jesus. Every single person will bow their knee and confess Him as the Lord. And that's to the glory of God the Father. If you want to glorify God the Father, if you believe in God the Father, confessing Jesus as Lord is to the glory of God the Father. That points to God the Father. That's how we glorify God the Father. We don't come to God the Father any other way but through Jesus Christ the Lord, the name above every name, the name that every single knee will bow to, knees in Africa, knees in Russia, knees in Antarctica, knees in America, knees in South America, knees in the jungle, knees in the Philippines. Every knee and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord above every single other name given amongst men under heaven. It is Jesus Christ. And that is how God is glorified. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one. There's not several. There is no option one or two. There are no other names that kind of work in place of Jesus. Our Bible is clear. This is how it is done. So in Philippians, writing this letter to this church, that is what Paul is teaching them. That is this core. So far, we have gotten into this letter, and he is now bringing out this beautiful, beautiful teaching, really, about Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he says, have this mind. Be just like this, like Jesus had, who humbled himself. Now you have that. It will pay off for you in the long run, no question. But what's interesting in this letter to the Philippians is that Paul doesn't just stop there. At this point, he has talked about Jesus' death and exaltation. Jesus died and Jesus rose again and is now ascended into heaven. And it is exalted. There, every single person will bow before this person, this name, Jesus. So we have death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation. Paul doesn't stop there with Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for those of us now here on earth, who have bent the knee, humbled our heart before Him. For those of us who have surrendered our life, as Casey and Katie have done, as many of you have done, for those of us who have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 20, chapter 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus, or like this, stand firm just like this in the Lord, my beloved. for those of us who have surrendered to Jesus, for those of us who believe this truth that Paul just wrote about, that I just explained, our citizenship is in heaven. We're not citizens here on earth. Our true citizenship for all eternity will be in heaven. It's interesting and almost ironic that now you and I are guests here on earth. We're immigrants. There's a lot of talk going around today about immigration and immigrants. And if there are immigrants today, it is you and I. We are immigrants here on this earth. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And Advent will happen right here in verse 20. We await a Savior from heaven. Our Savior is coming from heaven. That is the meaning of Advent for you and I. Christmas and looking back and counting down the days to Christmas, that's all just remembrance. That's all just tradition. That's all just saying, He came once, we're going to count it down. Isn't this exciting? But the true meaning of Advent, the true meaning is that you and I are in a time of waiting. We are waiting someone, this Jesus, from heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, from heaven, you and I, believe it or not, we are waiting for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Jesus is coming back, and you and I are eagerly waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven, not to punish, but to save, to redeem. Now, there's a time coming, and it is a time of reckoning for those who don't believe now. It is a time of judgment for those who won't surrender now, but it is a time that you and I are eagerly waiting, anticipating, looking forward to when Jesus comes again, a second time, the scriptures say. He's coming back to save those who are His. Verse 21, this Lord Jesus will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. Jesus is a transformer. He transforms people. That there's no other way to say it, but when we accept Christ, when we come to Christ, He transforms us. He changes us. It was beautiful, was it not, to see Katie's eyes well up as she talked about Casey's transformation. Look what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So very much the same thing. Humble yourself, empty yourself, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. We're not citizens of this world. Don't be conformed to it, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Will you go back to that last screen, Mark? The one right? Yep. Do not be conformed to this world. You're not a citizen, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We're waiting on a Savior to come back who's going to transform my body. You say, how will we go into heaven for all eternity? Because He's going to change this body. This one wouldn't make it. And for those of us who are being transformed already on the inside, we have presented ourselves to Him. We have surrendered to Him. We have emptied ourselves and said, You come in now and fill me and change me. He begins a transformation process. He changes us. It's not for us to fear what that will look like. We don't need to fear Jesus. He is so good. He will change us from wherever we're at. He will change us to be more like Himself. He is a transformer. And someday, I will have a glorious, heavenly, eternal body that will be like His. Jesus is a transformer. It says here that He'll do it by the power. He will transform us by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. When Jesus returns, He will subject everything to Himself. He has that power. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is God in the flesh come to earth. And when He comes back, He has power, and He will subject every government, every person, everything, even creation. He will subject it to Himself. Everything will answer to Jesus, and it's by that power He will give me, those of us who surrender to Him now, it is by that power He will change my body and welcome me into eternity. So the passage in chapter 4 goes this way, therefore, my brothers, and this is for you and I, therefore, Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm like this in the Lord, my beloved. Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, stand firm right here, just like this in the Lord. Be strong, be immovable, be mature. Don't move off of this great truth. Don't move off of this gospel. Don't move off of Jesus. He is amazing. He is coming back. I promise you 100% as you celebrate Christmas this month, Jesus is coming back, and He is the Lord. Every knee will bow to Him either now or later. Every tongue will confess Him as the Lord now or later. Everything will be subjected to Him now or later. Everything, every person, everywhere, for all time, on heaven and on earth and under the earth, will bow their knee and confess Him as Lord before they step into eternity. Stand firm just like this. Wait. From heaven we are awaiting a Savior. Wait just like this. This is how we wait. Humble ourselves. Empty ourselves. Remembering who we are. Remembering where our citizenship is at. Stand firm. Just like this. My question for us this morning, how are you doing waiting? How are you doing? Are you waiting just like this? There's a day of redemption and a day of reckoning coming. Are you waiting like this? We've been told to have our minds set on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Our mind is where our citizenship lies, it says. How is your mind? Where are your core thoughts? Is your mind set on earthly things or on Him? Chapter 3, verse 19, it says, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame. Who minds set on earthly things. Everything they think about is tomorrow, is this afternoon, here, but our citizenship is in heaven. Have this mind among you. How about your eyes? Who are you imitating? Who are you looking up to? Who are your idols or your mentors? It says here that we should have eyes for those who follow Jesus this way. chapter 3, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul had just said he'd given up everything, his power, his wealth, his religion. He'd given everything up for Jesus, following in Jesus' footsteps. There's nothing that compares to knowing Jesus. And then he says, church, while you wait, keep your eyes on people who wait like that. Look to those as mentors who wait like that. Imitate those who wait like that. Who are you looking up to? Who are you looking up to? As you wait, do you have an insightful, overflowing love? You can walk into the hornet's nest. You can walk into life. You can walk into trouble. You're not trying to stay out of trouble. You're just following Jesus. And even in trouble, even in hard times, you have an insightful, overflowing love, and you can see Jesus in it. Wait like that. The most interesting one, and I think our thought for day one of Advent, is humble waiting. Wait humbly. Wait humbly for your Savior. Chapter 2, verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself. Wait humbly. Wait humbly for your Savior. So that's actually a great question, if you'll think about it with me for just a second. How do you humble yourself? I mean, if I'm arrogant, how do I humble myself? What do I do? What exactly do I do to humble myself? And somebody that says they're humble probably isn't humble. You've heard that said. How exactly do I go about humbling myself? It's right here. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. He became obedient. He became obedient to his Father, even to the point of death. That's how you and I will humble ourselves. My humility doesn't begin with us. It's not like me being just a real quiet guy, just kind of, oh, that's okay. I really don't deserve that. Thank you, but I'm not anything. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. That's not humility. Humility comes by being obedient to Christ. And it doesn't start here. It starts there. Now, how does that work? You ask yourself, how does obedience to him make humility? Well, I'll tell you. Because here's how we live. We've been talking about it. Here's what he said. Live my way. Wait my way. Change my way. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Do it my way. Wait for me here. Obey. And so I make that choice. I either say, look, I want to obey Jesus. I want to obey the Word of God. I want to obey Him. And I want to glorify the Father through Jesus. That's the only way to do it. So I will obey Him. And what I do at that point, I step off the throne of my life. And I give it to Him. I'm not going to obey myself anymore. I'm going to live life the way you want me to. I surrender to you. I submit to you, to how you want me to live life. Even if that long road ends up at a cross. Even if you ask me to do some things that are kind of sacrificial. Even if you ask me to do things that are going to bring more anxiety and frustration into my life, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to empty myself, and I'm going to step off the throne of my life and let you have the throne over my life. I'm becoming obedient to the point of death. I'm humbling myself before you, Lord, because I really want to glorify my Father in heaven. So humility doesn't start with me in this kind of fake little piety thing in front of you. True humility begins with obedience to the Word of God, to the Father. It's humble waiting. It's obedient waiting. I'm so thankful to have the example of Jesus in my life. I'm so thankful, like Casey, many of you, we really weren't even looking. Really weren't even looking for God. Really weren't even looking for Jesus. If Casey's was anything like me, I was all that and big old cup of cheese at the same time. I was everything. I didn't need anything or anybody. Thank you very much. I could take care of myself. I didn't need. And Jesus came to me. And I'm so thankful he did. It's a long road for guys like me to empty ourselves, to humble ourselves, to get underneath Jesus. But I'm so thankful he, in his great love, saved me. And I need the gospel every day. And so do you. The truth I've just read and taught you is nothing more than the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, rose again, ascended, and was exalted, and he's coming back, Advent. That's the gospel. But us, like Philippian church, we need to hear the gospel regularly if we're going to have a mind like this. I need to speak the gospel regularly. Do you know this is what your Savior did? And we are to have his mind. So Paul starts out with the gospel. Have this mind amongst yourself of your Savior. Think like your Savior. And then he concludes in chapter 3 by saying, we're waiting on our Savior, aren't we? I'm so thankful for a Savior who died for me. I am so thankful for a Savior that as I wait, he transforms me. And I'm still being transformed. Like Paul, I don't consider myself yet to have attained or to be made perfect. But I strain forward. I work so hard. I strain for the prize of the upward calling of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let those of us who are mature think this way. It's a beautiful teaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never gets old. Jesus is so amazing, and I am so thankful for him. And I'm excited. I'm excited for Christmas. But just think about it. He's coming again. He's coming again. As sure as we celebrate Christmas, that Savior's coming again. That guy, that name, Jesus, is coming back. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you. You've made it so clear. So clear. Jesus, you are good. You are good to us. You love us. Lord, we love you. We're so waiting for you to come back. Thank you for your great, great love, your great patience, your great forgiveness, your transforming power. Lord, continue to change me, I pray, and continue to change our church family here. You're doing amazing things here with Cornerstone, Lord. Continue, please continue. We want to change our city and our neighborhoods and our schools. So, Lord, bring glory to yourself. Bring glory to yourself. Through the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Would you stand and sing, "We All Bow Down"?
So much for your love, for your unconditional forgiveness. Every day, not just once, but every day, you forgive us. If we humble ourselves before you, you will lift us up. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Even now, we know you. And we don't see you, but we love you. And you are transforming and changing us. Lord, give us grace to humbly wait for you to return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.